Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am Rob Oliver, and it is my privilege to be your host. Thank you so much for being with me today, and I hope that you have been enjoying this podcast and that you've been learning from the smart people that we have on here. My smart person today is Jacqueline Wales. She has, for the past 35 years, explored human behavior and asked tough questions to discover hard truths. She believes in the power of fearlessness to create the career and the life that you want. Jacqueline, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Listen, right now, I think your expertise in fearlessness is so valuable and so important. I want to create evergreen content, right? I want what we're producing to be something that is always relevant. But right now, this pandemic has everyone in a state of fear, and everyone's afraid of what's going to happen. And there's a fear of going back to school, a fear of opening work, a fear, everything. It seems like we are living in a world paralyzed by fear. And like, how does that happen? And kind of what can you tell us about that fearful mindset and kind of where you end up if you let fear win?
So let's start with fear is an emotion. You know, it's like sadness, anger, happiness, whatever. Fear is simply an emotion. And it's a reaction to uncertainty. That's really fundamentally what it is. And during this last year, there's been a tremendous amount of fear around our health primarily. You know, could this disease claim our lives? And let's face it, some of the biggest fears in life are the fear of death, which of course is just a simple natural part of the cycle of what we call life. But many people do fear death. And so the health crisis that has been created by this pandemic and all of the isolation and all of the restrictions that have been created in life have taken people out of their status quo and thrust them into that uncertainty of what does the future look like. And right now, we're not really sure what that is. And if you're looking for certainty, which is where most people like to live, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So how do you make the adjustments? Now, I'm an entrepreneur, so I know that, you know, I live my life with risk. And I have lived, before I became an entrepreneur, I lived my life with a lot of risk. So I look on this last year and I go, okay, well, this is kind of interesting. So what do I need to do differently? And I think where a lot of people get stuck is that they can't see differently. They can only see the old life and they can only see what's being taken away and not the opportunities that are being opened up for them. And I think this is a piece, and I like to say fear is a mindset issue. Again, if it's an emotion, it's about you do have control of your reaction to it, which many people don't realize. So when I say fear is imagination based, a lot of it is what's going on between your ears. And when your imagination is on overdrive about worst case scenarios, and let's face it, most people aren't trained to think positively. They go to the negative before they go to the positive. And so when you start spinning negative stories for yourself, and that's what a lot of the fear is, frankly, is the stories you tell yourself, then, of course, it's very hard to break out of that and create a new and different scenario for yourself. It's what keeps me in business, frankly.
Yeah, well, in just listening to what you said, it kind of little light bulb moment for me, okay? And that is fear is about uncertainty. It's an emotion and it's about the stories that we tell ourselves. Okay. And kind of, I thought about this. We all know about the fight or flight mentality, which is when we come to something where we're uncertain and there's a fear that goes with that, we are programmed to either fight it or to run away from it. And what you're talking about is that cycle doesn't handle what's going on in front of us. It doesn't help us to reframe it in a positive way. It doesn't, there's nothing like that. We end up either, you know, bristling at it or running away from it. The positivity, the certainty doesn't come in. Does that make sense at all? Am I correctly understanding what you're saying?
Absolutely you're right on. You know, I mean, when you're stuck in negativity and when you're stuck in worst case scenarios, when you're stuck in that place of, I don't know what's going to happen and I can't see around the corner, then you're not thinking about the positive side of this. You know, you're not thinking about, well, if this is what's going to happen, how can I readjust my thinking around this? How can I take different actions? How can I be more proactive rather than reactive, which is where most people tend to go first and foremost? Because when you're in that fight and flight, which is that primitive emotion of, you know, I have no idea. That's exactly what happens. You get on that kind of stuck place. Then you need to have some sounding boards. You need to have people who can help you see around the corners and look to the future, because part of our fears is predicated on what happened in the past. And if it's a negative experience, will happen again in the future. When we forget that in this present moment, this is our only reality. And I like to speak about this piece because this is something that people forget. That in this very moment, this present moment, this absolute moment we're in right now, this is the only tangible moment that we're living. Everything else becomes a product of the mind. What we said 5 minutes ago is a product of the mind. What will happen in 5 minutes is a product of the imagination. I have no idea what question you're going to ask me next. I don't know how I'm going to respond to that question. But I can say that right now I know exactly where we sit with this. And so when people forget that they have a choice in this moment and that they can do things differently, then they do forget that, because it's like, well, you know, it is what it is and blah, blah, blah. So again, taking that moment of choice. And then when people say to me, but I don't have an option, I don't have a choice. Well, you just made a choice. You made a choice to choose that you don't have an option.
Right.
So you see how complicated this is? And at the same time, it's so simple. But most people just get completely locked into the yada yada radio that's playing in their head.
I've never heard of yada yada radio, but I understand the concept. I don't know what the frequency is, but I'm afraid that I've tuned into it occasionally. Let me go back to something that you said earlier. You talked about people not being able to see things differently. They're only able to see things as they have always in the past. And it kind of got my mind going back to an earlier episode that we did, one of the very early episodes with Katie Newell. And she's a young lady who has a child with multiple allergies. And so she had to change her diet. She had to change her family's diet and had to, you know, adapt to the new reality of what was going on with what her son could eat and not eat. And she said, you can't compare the new food to what you used to eat. So for example, when you have the dairy-free, soy-free, gluten-free ice cream, right? It's not going to taste like Breyers. It's not going to taste like whatever ice cream you had before. If you view it as this is a frozen treat, then okay, it is what it is. And you can appreciate it for that. You can't always necessarily compare things to what used to happen, right? And I think the same thing applies in a pandemic where, you know, we wish that things were like they were back in February of 2020, but we're not in February of 2020 anymore. We're now in April of 2021, and the new reality is what it is. And just because it's not what we're used to, not what we had, doesn't mean that there's no opportunity, and it doesn't mean that it's all bad. Does that properly frame it?
You used a word that I think stood out for me, which is adapt. Adaptability is really what we're being asked for at this point in time, to be adaptive to the situations, the circumstances. So this is a global pandemic. I mean, much as I would love to get on a plane and go somewhere right now, I realize that, you know, I can't. I have family in London I haven't seen in, you know, a couple of years now. And I was planning last April to go visit with them. And well, there you are. You're not going anywhere. So we do video calls and we've adapted to that piece. And when everything looks like it's opening up, I will get on a plane and I will go over there. But the point being is adaptability is that piece of, you know, the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. And the fixed mindset, and this is based on Carol Dweck's work, it's a book called Mindset. You've probably heard of it from other guests. But the idea of this, of course, is that the fixed mindset says it is what it is and there's nothing I can do about it. Or you believe that your traits are fixed, that, you know, this is just the way you are and this is how you're born to it and blah, blah, blah. The growth mindset says I'm always in learning. I'm always looking for the opportunities to learn more, to adapt, to think about how, you know, we can expand on ideas, expand on whatever the situations are in our life. I'm very much of a growth mindset because I've been changing and growing my entire life. And I'm now in my sixth decade. So I've had a fair amount of the experiences along the way. So, you know, this is a piece right there for people to think about, you know, am I being adaptable to the situations? Because if you're, again, if you're sticking to what I knew before and what's going on now and where it's going to be in the future, then yeah, you're going to be in that fearful position of, you know, what happens when I send my kid back to school? You know, is he going to come home sick and are we all going to get sick and blah, 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 blah. If you stay in that state of mind, then, you know, I'm a great believer if the energy you put out into the universe is the negative stuff, it does tend to come home again if that's where you're going to dwell. So you have to believe that if I take more risks and I say, you know, calculated risks, I don't have to be reckless about this, but I can say, yeah, we're going to go to school. We're going to make sure that everything is laid out the way it's supposed to be laid out. And I'll do my best to make sure my piece is right. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect, of course, is joblessness. That's a big piece right now for a lot of people. You know, these numbers are still very, very high. Lots of consultants, lots of people who are in the hospitality trades and so forth, they've lost their incomes. They're looking at this going, well, what am I supposed to do now? And I know they're suffering with this. And I can understand exactly. I mean, I know what poverty looks like. I came out of poverty. So I know that is a piece. But again, how can I take my skills and talents and apply them to something different? It doesn't have to be exactly what I did before.
Right.
That's the adjustment. That's the adaptability.
Yeah. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. And here's why. When I was 21, I had my spinal cord injury. I ended up in occupational therapy and my occupational therapist said, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, okay, you know what I'm capable of. You know what the level of my injury is. You know what muscles I have that work. Like, you tell me what the goals are and I'll live up to them. And she said, no, you set the goals and we'll work to get there. And here's the key to what she said. She said, you may not do it like you used to do it. You may not do it like everyone else does it. It may take a lot of creativity and perseverance to accomplish it. But if you're willing to put in the effort, you'll be able to accomplish the goals that you have. And so that to me is exactly what you're talking about, where it may not be like everybody else. It may not be like it used to, but you, just because the external circumstances have changed, your skills, your abilities, your mindset are all things that you have, and they're the tools in your toolbox. And it's up to you then to step kind of, I don't know if it's into the uncertainty or to step. I think the phrase that you use would be to step beyond the uncertainty and to use the skills and abilities that you have to move forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I talk frequently about being fearless is not the absence of fear, but it's the courage to take the next step. And I like to say that when you're looking at the next step, when you think about that, you're going to be looking at not just the whole staircase, because sometimes you look at the whole staircase and you go, well, that's a lot of stairs. Take the next step and then the next step and one step at a time, just like you did when you were recovering from your spinal injury. You had to learn how to take the next step, small steps, one at a time, until one day you realized you were taking more steps than you had, say, a month or two or three, 6 months ago. So that's how we grow and develop. It's not about eating the whole elephant at one go.
Right.
It's about, you know, and nobody wants to eat an elephant, by the way. It's not recommended.
I've heard the meat's really tough.
That's used, you know, but it's the idea that, you know, incremental, And, you know, growth happens incrementally. It's like when people come to me and they say, how do I get to be more confident?
Right.
And I say, take more risks.
Sure. Yeah. So I think about this from, you know, from a movie perspective. You have What About Bob? And What About Bob was taking baby steps, right? And then the other side of that is, I think it was Along Came Polly. And it was a guy who was an actuary and he knew what the risks were with everything. And as a result, he was fearful to do anything because there was always everything that you do, there's a risk involved. And it really has to do, I think that you mentioned this, like it's between your ears, that the stories that you're telling yourself and the things that you're saying to yourself really have to change in order to make that shift possible, to make that change possible. Do you have any suggestions for how to address that inner dialogue?
So one of the first things I say to people is, who's doing the talking? Because frequently the voice in your head started at a much earlier age. You heard it from somebody else. You either heard it from a parent or you heard it from a boss or you heard it from someone that mattered to you that somehow told you you were not measuring up, that someone told you that you had to play it safe, that someone told you that you didn't have a voice loud enough to have any opinions or expectations or dreams or whatever the case may be. My mother told me for years not to dream because it would only bring me trouble.
Wow.
Now, that was based on her experience of her dreams were shattered. And, you know, her life was fairly tragic in lots of ways. So, you know, you have to kind of overcome that thinking. So when the next time you hear the negative voice in your head, ask yourself, who's doing the talking? Is it you or is it something else that you can relate to?
Wow. It's so interesting. Again, I had a guest on, Bonnie Artman Fox was on, and she had written a book that said something along the lines of like, how did my family end up in my office? Which, or, you know, the idea was the way that you were raised has an impact on the way that you interact with people. And it makes so much sense. So what we're talking about then is having an awareness of what's going on in your mind and then beginning to make a change. And so once you've identified where those voices are coming from, how do you take the step to
next question is going to be, is it true? So if you're hearing in your head that you're too stupid to make a change, well, who told you that? And is it true? Mm. And again, if we really want to get reflective, because a lot of this is about self-reflection, think back to all the things that you've achieved in your life. So when you think about your capability, for instance, you know, people tell me, you know, I'm not capable of doing that. It's not part of who I am. Well, let's reevaluate. Let's reflect on that. What have you done in your life right now that you can be most proud of? And there's a lot. And what obstacles did you have to overcome in order to achieve that? Well, there's probably been quite a few. So when you look at the resilience piece of this conversation, then it becomes another level of how resilient are you? You know, because the risk-taking is really tied into resilience in some ways. How much have you bounced back from? I hear all the time that people are afraid of failure, and I've just been writing about it on my social media posts recently and doing some videos on it. But the fear of failure is a big one for a lot of people. And so, again, they're not taking the next step. But here's what I like to say about failure. It's a choice or it's a decision, an expectation that didn't go the way that you wanted it to. So is that enough to stop you? No. There's one word to use, and that word's next. Mm-hmm. So, again, that adaptability, that growth piece, everything that we've been talking about today all ties into that, too. And, again, the negative voices in your head, question it. Ask yourself, is it true? And if it's not true in your heart of hearts, you know that it's not true, then change that negative to the positive. Try reversing the message that you're getting. So if you're thinking you're not smart, well, think about yourself as being pretty competent because you've got the evidence to prove it by looking at past experiences.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll just throw this out for my audience, and that is, smart people learn from smart people. Okay. Yeah. And so simply by the fact that you are listening to this podcast, trying to gain insight and understanding from the smart people that are out there, is an indication you're not dumb. Okay, you've got that much going for you. Let me throw something else out there, because you talked about the fear of failure and how many people are afraid to do things because of the fear of failure. I actually see that even more as a person with a disability. I look at the next generation of young people with disabilities and how many times their parents are afraid to put them in situations where they might fail. And they protect their kids from even that concept of failure. And I'm not saying that we intentionally put our kids in harm's way, but you look at a child that's learning how to walk, right? Part of learning how to walk is falling. They're going to take a couple steps, and then what happens? They fall over. And I'm not saying, we need to be careful and to protect them in that environment where they're not going to fall into something and hurt themselves. But failure is what you learn from. And as you fail, you're beginning to learn what works and what doesn't work. And really, failure is truly one of the greatest learning experiences that you can have. Would you agree with that statement?
100%. I mean, if I think about all the mistakes and all the failures I've had in my life, I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you today if I had insisted that, I really wasn't capable and I wasn't smart enough. I mean, we talk about smart people. I grew up being told I wasn't smart enough, except that I knew somewhere inside of me I was a hell of a lot smarter than the people who were raising me. And I knew I was, because both my parents left school at 13. And they're working class people. They didn't have any real education. But I had a couple of people who were very smart people who said to me, "You're a lot smarter than you think you are." And I was like, "Who, me?" I had no clue, Right. And over the years, and it took me quite a while, I have to admit, but over the years, after I got over the fears and over the insecurity and the uncertainty and so forth, discovered that there was really a very smart woman in here. And I'm not having to try to prove myself anymore, which is a gift.
Yeah, no doubt at all about that. So as people are listening to this and they're like, yeah, I hear where you're coming from, and I'd like to start making those changes. And you've mentioned this briefly, but can you talk more about that power to change? Because that's where it... You can't change the pandemic, okay? For me, I can't change my physical circumstances. I'm paralyzed from the chest down. That's who I am, and that no, change that. That is my physical being. It's not who I am. I'm Rob. I'm not disabled man or wheelchair boy or whatever you want to call me. And so how do we make the change to the things that we can change, and how do we do that in the midst of circumstances that we can't?
So this is kind of like the serenity prayer, isn't it? To change the things that you can change and let go of the things that you can't change. And there's a little variation on that. And of course, the only thing that you can change is yourself. Mm. Circumstances are frequently out of your control. But you do have control over how you think. You have control over how you behave. You have control over the directions that you choose to take your life in. Now, I've been down the road with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of self-abusive behaviors in my early part of my life that were definitely not serving me well. So how did I change that? Well, I got some therapy, number one. And number two, I realized that I need to make a change. I went into AA for 5 years because I thought I had a drinking problem. And what it turned out after 5 years was it wasn't the drinking, it was the thinking. And in AA, they call it stinking thinking. And I had a lot of stinking thinking going on. And so you've got to, again, reflect on if you've got stinking thinking going on, which is the negative stuff, and you're thinking about change, and to your question, which is we are all capable of change, but too many of us wait until our backs are against a wall before we enter into it, because change means I got to take a risk. It might work out. It might not work out. I mean, you and your situation, You are not Rob defined by sitting in a wheelchair because you can't use your legs. You're defined by this wonderful gift that you bring with your podcast and the conversations that you're having and the ideas that you're spreading and the challenges that you put out to the people who have those conversations with you. And through those conversations, you're growing, you're learning. The people who are listening to this right now are hungry for learning. That's why they're listening to this. So these are the people who are already dedicated to change. The people who are not listening to this podcast or any podcast for that matter, or are not picking up a book on personal development or anything that stretches them beyond the edge of wherever it is that they're sitting right now, you know, that's not the audience that we're really speaking to. We're speaking to people who are saying, yeah, I do want to change. I just don't know how to do that. Okay, and all I can say is start by looking at your thinking, because it's the emotions that drives the thinking, that drives the behavior, that drives the actions. So if you look at that whole chain of events, what are you doing that serves your best and highest purpose? You know, it's like people who are constantly out there looking for approval are looking for people to tell them they're okay. Mm. Now, if I stop asking for approval, does that mean I become invisible? No. Then you have to start thinking about how do I give approval to me? And again, I can speak to that one because I also was, you know, tell me I'm okay kind of person for a long time.
Right.
And now I've developed enough confidence, enough sense of my own self to say, I don't really care what you think. I know I'm okay.
Right.
But that's a journey. That's the journey you have to take.
Sure. What? Okay. You touched on something and it made me kind of smile because my father-in-law, he talks about how so many people are looking for change, right? And they want the circumstances to change. They want the people around them to change. They can point out all of the change that they want to see around them. And his response to people that are looking for change that way is, I think we should all change. You go first. Okay.
Right.
And it's that concept. That's his way of kind of avoiding having to change himself, saying you change before I change. But I think that the underlying principle there is when we're looking for change, change has to start at home. Change has to start with me. And the only person that I can change and the only thing that I can change is me. And you've laid out the progression of where it goes, but it starts with me changing the way that I think. Listen, Jacqueline, this has been excellent. I think that we've covered a lot and you've given us a lot to think about. If people are looking to find out more about you, where can they find you?
They can go to my website, thefearlessfactoratwork.com. That's thefearlessfactoratwork.com, and download Give Fear the Finger. It's a download that's on my homepage. And I invite you to take hold of this. It's a little PDF that will help you do a simple exercise of identifying what your fears are and how you can start to step beyond them and start thinking differently.
Okay. Wonderful. I will put a link to that in the show notes to make sure that folks can get there. And I would encourage you take advantage of that because fear is something we all deal with. And hopefully it's something we can change our own inner dialogue and in that change our lives. Jacqueline, thank you so much. It is time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Absolutely.
What is your proudest accomplishment?
I would have to say my children, because they are exceptional human beings. And given my background, where I came from, it's my proudest accomplishment.
Fantastic. All right. So, we'll give a shout out to your kids. What are your kids' names?
I have Samara, Serena, Virginia, and Rob. I have a Rob too.
You know what? You have been gifted then. Rob is a, you know, well, let me just say my parents might argue about whether or not Rob is the best child in the world. But anyway, congratulations on that. And not only do you have kids that you can be proud of, but I'm pretty sure that they're proud of you and what you're doing as well. This is fantastic. On karaoke night, what song is it that Jacqueline Wales will be on stage singing on karaoke night?
Interesting. you know, I am a professional singer. So, you know, there is a piece here. I love the song from West Side Story about who knows? Who knows? It's only just down the block, blah, 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 blah. That's one of my favorite ones. So I would love to be able to do that on karaoke night.
Fantastic. We'll give, you know what? You will be front and center on karaoke night. All right, last question for you. Since you have moved here from over in Scotland, what food is it that you are enjoying or that you enjoy in the California area that you say, this is something that I didn't get at home and I am surprised or I enjoy this particular food?
I think that probably applies to almost everything. We knew cans when I was growing up. Things came out of cans, okay. You know, soups and stews. So, you know, salads, avocados, artichokes, grapes. I love wine. You know, I've been blessed to have a very good culinary experience in my lifetime. So there's very little that I don't enjoy. And we're very blessed here in California.
Okay, wonderful. All right. So let me just follow it up with this. And that is, if Jacqueline is choosing the place where you're going out for dinner, where are you choosing to go for dinner and what are you going to order as your kind of favorite dish?
I think I would go for Japanese food right now, a really good sushi restaurant where we can have a great array of amazing fresh fish and of course, great sake to go along with it.
Wonderful. Jacqueline Wales, thank you so much for being on today. You have been a pleasure, and I think that we've all learned a lot from you. To all of my listeners, thanks for being here. I would encourage you, here's what I would like you to do. Do me a favor and just stop by the website, learningfromsmartpeople.com, and drop me a note in the contact us page, just to let me know that you're listening, to let me know, just say hi, say this is what I've heard, this is what I've enjoyed. That would mean a lot to me, and I would appreciate if you would be willing to do that. In the meantime, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.